Father, I ask that the mantle, the prophetic and apostolic mantle of fire that operates in the life of your servant, Dr. Paul Enenche, and God's handmaiden, Dr. Mrs. Becky Enenche, will flow through my life today. I ask, Lord, that you will help me to be a blessing to your people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you. Anoint this tongue of clay. Make it like the pen of a ready writer. Help me to speak your word in quotes. Let your people receive your word. Let no one go back the same today. Let the angels that minister with God's servant on this altar minister with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we are prayed, and everyone will say aloud, amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise, and please, you may be seated on your seats this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, we are looking quickly on the general theme, youth in dominion, and then we are looking specifically on spiritual fire for dominion. Spiritual fire for dominion. Joel chapter 2, and in verse 3 to 7, Joel chapter 2, and from verse 3 to verse 7. Can we have the scripture, Joel chapter 2? A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burned. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. I will read to verse 7. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen they shall run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break ranks. The Lord bless his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Let somebody say aloud, amen. Quickly, our objectives are threefold. First, it is understanding the place of the youth in dominion. Understanding the place of the youth in dominion. And secondly, we'll be understanding how to generate spiritual fire as a youth in dominion. How to generate spiritual fire as a youth in dominion. And then thirdly, we are going to understand how spiritual fire puts the youth in dominion. So when you generate the fire, how does it put you in dominion? Those are the things we'll be looking at this morning. Somebody say aloud, amen. On Monday, God's servant began to say that it is not strange for the youth to be in authority. He said it is not strange that a youth, a young man, should be in authority. He was making reference of himself, how that God helped him to start the ministry at a very young age. The meaning is that there is no age that is too small to start something that God has placed in your heart to do. To postpone your maturity, he said, is equal to the loss of authority. When you postpone your maturity, you postpone the time frame between which you should affect your generation. Then you are postponing your dominion. You are postponing your authority. God's servant also said that one of the greatest challenges of the youth in our generation is delayed maturity. Delayed maturity. People refuse to grow on time. People refuse to get mature on time. People refuse to make impact on time. So they delay their progress. They delay their life impact upon others. And as they delay, things get out of hand. And now, hear me, my brothers and sisters, to exist in dominion as a youth, one of the best things that can happen to any one of us is to do it on time. Do it on time. Do it on time. Because if you arrive too late, you may be set out of the party. If you come to the occasion too late, you may not be accepted. If you want to be admitted too late, you may not be accepted. In Matthew chapter 5:25, I beg your pardon. Matthew 25. If you begin to read from verse number 10 to verse 12, Matthew 25, from verse 10 to verse 12, the Bible says, and while they went to buy, you remember the 10 virgins, the 5 that were foolish, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to him and into the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The reason was because they came very late. They were late to the occasion. They were late to the party. My prayer for you is that you will not be late in the name of Jesus Christ. Say your amen like that of a believer. So hear this, and you may note it down, that to remain too young for too long is to postpone your impact. To remain too young for too long is to postpone your impact. Young in the sense that you are waiting for time. Young in the sense that you are marking time. Young in the sense that whilst others are going, you are busy watching. And watch others make impact. Watch others affect their generation. Watch others do the things that God has called them to do. If you go too young, if you remain too young for too long, you may postpone your impact. You may postpone your breakthroughs. You may postpone your relevance on the earth. Somebody say a loud amen. Say that amen again like that of a believer. Now, this is very true because, you see, dominion as a youth makes you, if you go early, if you go at the right time, there are a minimum of 3 things that will happen to you. You establish the kingdom of God at a very early age, early time. You are able to establish, you are able to push and do the things you need to do at a very early age. That is the story of our Father in the Lord. At the age that he is right now, so many people of his age are not achieving the things he has achieved today. One of the primary reasons was the call of God on his life, and that he went on time, right on time. My prayer for you is that you will go on time in the name of Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1, he said, but now remember thou thy creator, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, in the days of thy youth, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days have not come, while you are not getting old, you are not already old, you are supposed to go in the days of your youth. It ensures that the devil does not hijack your youthful energy. When you go on time, it ensures that the enemy does not take advantage of your youthful strength. He doesn't take advantage of your youthful energy. He doesn't take advantage of the hand of God upon your life. When you go on time, what happens? It ensures that you are protected from the wastage of your youth. Your youth is not wasted. Your youth is not wasted. You don't waste your time. You don't waste your strength. You don't waste your energy. You don't waste your friendship. You don't waste your relationship when you go on time. When you take the step on time, when you do the right thing on time, you don't waste your youthful energy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22. It says, flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness. If you are fleeing the youthful lust, then you should follow the youthful righteousness. There is youthful righteousness. There is youthful faith. There is youthful charity, peace. There is something you can pursue at the days of your youth. So you are running away from sin. You are not allowing the enemy to take advantage of you, and then you are pursuing God. Hear me. It ensures that you have no part in sin. When you go on time, your youthful energy is preserved. Your youthful energy is conserved, and then you are able to make impact on time. Thirdly, what happens when you go on time? When you go on time, it prepares you for greater authority. It prepares you for greater authority. So when you left and then you began to serve God from the age of 12, 15, 17, by the time you are 20, by the time you are 25, you are already prepared, you are settled, you are ready to begin to make greater impact in your life. You are able to start making greater impact because because you started early. You started early, and so you are affecting the destinies of people on time. You are changing the destinies of people on time. People are benefiting from your spirituality on time. I pray for somebody here, your youthful age will not be wasted. Are you saying amen? Let the amen resound like that of a believer. Luke 16 and in verse 10. Look at it. Luke chapter 16 and right there in verse number 10. The Bible speaking, Luke 16 and in verse 10. The Bible speaking said, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in that which is much. That is, you started little. You started as a little child. You are faithful in it. As you are growing, you become faithful in what God has committed into your hands. These are the things that can happen to you. That was the reason why in the book of 1 Samuel, if you read in chapter 17, David began to recount to Saul. He said to him, your servant slew a bear. Your servant also slew a lion. I did this when I was a small boy. So there is nothing that this all circumstance Philistine can do to me. I have experience from my past. I started from when I was young. I was able to affect generations. I was able to affect lives. So if you give me this mountain, I will be able to conquer it. I am prophesying to somebody here today and speaking back to you by the mantle that operates here. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are starting on time, you are affecting your generation on time, and you will do great things for God in the future. If you are saying amen, let the amen be the loudest. Say that amen again like that of a believer. Now hear this. The fire of God, note it down, the fire of God is the basic prerequisite for authority or dominion as a youth. The fire of God is the basic prerequisite for authority in dominion as a youth. It is the fire of God that is your basic necessity. It is the fire of God that carries you from where you are to the place that you are supposed to be. As a youth, it is the fire of God that makes you who you should be for God. It is the fire of God that determines how far you go in life. If there is no fire, you can't go. If there is no fire, you cannot affect your destiny. You cannot affect the destinies of those around you. You cannot affect the destinies of your family. If there is no fire on your life, there is little or nothing you can do with your life. Somebody say, I am carrying fire from this place. Can you say it again? Say, I am carrying fire from this place. Say it again. Say, I carry fire from this place. That's the reason why from Joel chapter 2, let's look at it again. Joel chapter 2 from verse 3. The Bible says, a fire burneth before them. A fire devoureth before them. And behind them, a flame burneth. A flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them. And behind them, a desolate wilderness. And yea, he said, nothing shall escape them. Look at me. So it is the fire of God that sets the pace for the youth. It is the fire of God that makes you ready for your assignment. It is the fire of God that prepares you for the destiny that God has for you. If you carry the fire, then you can affect the generation that God has placed you in. If you don't carry the fire, if there is no fire in you, then there is nothing you can do about your life or about the generation that God has placed you in. That was the reason why you see several men in scriptures, youth in scriptures. The first example I will give here is the example of David. David enjoyed dominion. He enjoyed authority because of his fire for God. In Psalm 27 and in verse 4, the book of Psalm chapter 27 verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The man was a man of fire. He was a man of passion for God. He was a man that was sold out to God. At the point in his life, Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2, David began to say, he said, as the heart panted after the water brook, so my soul panted after thee, O God. He said, my soul thirsted for the living God. I am looking for God. Where shall I come to appear before God? David was a man that carried the fire of God upon his life. Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2. Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He said, God, I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. He was a man that was hungry for God. He was a man that had deep passion for God. He was a man that carried fire in his generation. And so he could confront Goliath. He could confront the lion. He could confront the bear. Because the fire of God was resident upon his life. He walked also in dominion. He enjoyed rulership. He enjoyed greatness because he was a man of fire. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 10. Look at it. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and in verse number 10. And David went on and grew. And grew great. And the Lord was with him. The Lord God of hosts was with him. David went on. He grew great. And the God of hosts was with him. It was as a result of his fire that he became great. Another example is the example of Joseph that our father in the Lord, Dr. Paul Enenche, has been speaking to us about from the beginning of the conference. He was a man of deep-rooted fire, deep-rooted passion for God. The man was a man of deep integrity. If you don't have integrity, there's no way you can have fire. So I know he had fire because he had integrity. The man was a man of integrity. Psalm 37, verse 2, Genesis 37, and in verse number 2, the Bible says David began to bring the evil report of his brothers unto his father. He was not conformed to the way of life of his brother. He was not conformed to the way of life of the people of his generation. His life was different. He carried the fire of God and he made great impact in life and his generation. In Genesis 41, if you read from verse 38 downward, you discover how David was made the prime minister in Egypt, a place where he was a foreigner. He became somebody that was a man of impact. He became somebody that became so great, so big in the land of Egypt. He conquered the land. He became one that was put in charge. Pharaoh told him, he said, without you, no man will lift up their feet or their hands in the whole land of Egypt. It was because the man was a man of fire. He was able to affect his generation, and he did that right on time. Another example is Job. Some of us, when we hear the story of Job, we feel that Job was an old man. No, the man was a young man. When he was tempted, he was a young man. In Job chapter 29 and in verse 2 to 4, look at it, Job 29 and from verse 2 to 4, he said, oh, that I were in the days and months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Look at the next verse. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, in the days of my youth, in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. So he didn't achieve greatness when he was old. He did it when he was a young man. It was in the days of his youth he got so wealthy. It was in the days of his youth he began to make impact. It was in the days of his youth he began to affect his generation for God. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. These are our days. If you miss this time, you may miss out forever. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus that after this conference, you will become all that God has destined for you to become. If you are saying amen, let your amen resound like thunder. Time will fail me to talk about Jesus, our master. He was on fire from the days of his youth. In Luke chapter 2 from verse 42 to 49, you see him in the temple. He was right there in the temple. The Bible says he was discussing with elders. He was discussing the word of God with them. He was busy talking to them, asking them questions. And then they were also asking him questions. He was answering them. If you read down to verse 49, you see that account there. The Bible says he was also dominion personified. He was dominion personified because of his early rising in life into spiritual matters. The man Jesus became dominion personified. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 9 and 10, Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10, where God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It was in the days of his youth he started. So when it was time for him to make impact, at 33, he already did all that God wanted him to do. He already affected the lives God wanted him to affect. He already did all the great things that God wanted him to do. He did all this in the days of his youth. I see a youth here doing something for God. Say your amen like that of a believer. John Wesley was young when he started. He said, I will set myself on fire and watch people come to me, watch me burn. They asked him, what is the secret of your ministry? You are praying on the tomb of your preaching on from the tomb of your father, and then people are coming to watch you in the graveyard of your father preach. He said, I preach 5 p.m. every evening and multitudes gather to hear me. And they asked him, what is the reason why they gather? He said, I set myself on fire and then people come to watch me born. Well, our father in the Lord, Dr. Paul Elenche, is another example. He set himself on fire on time, and that is the reason why we are here. That is why this place has been constructed. He began on time, and then he was able to affect destinies, affect people. I see you affecting destinies in the name of Jesus Christ. Say your amen like that of a believer. Now, the question to ask and answer, which is the crux of this message, is this. How do you generate this fire as a young man, as a young woman? How do you generate this fire for dominion? Number one, it's called adoration. Adoration means worship. Adoration means worship. A life of worship to God is a life that generates the fire of God. Show me a worshiper, and I will show you a man of fire. Show me a man that worships God in spirit and in truth, and I will show you a man that will secure the presence of God. Psalm 22 and in verse 3, he said, O thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Worship brings down the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes, the fire of God has come. When the presence of God comes upon your life, the fire of God has come upon your life. I'm not talking about worship that we just do in church. I'm talking about the kind of worship that you do in your personal life. I'm talking about the kind of worship that your life becomes. You are not just singing, but your life has become worship to God. Your life has been sold out to God. Your life has been committed to God in deep worship, in deep adoration. It secures the fire of God upon your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and in verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and in verse 13. The Bible says, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God. Then they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instrument of music and to praise the Lord, saying, for his good is mercy and endureth forever. Then the house was filled with the cloud. Even the house of the Lord, the glory of God came. The presence of God came. The kabod of God came. The doxa of God came. The house was filled with the glory of God because men lifted up their voice in worship to God. Their lives became worship to God. When your life is sold out in worship to God, when you come to the point in time where you sing to God in worship in the morning, you sing in the afternoon, you secure his fire, and that fire commissions you and make you worship what you want to be in life and destiny. And that again is the secret, one of the greatest secrets of our father in the Lord, Dr. Paul Elenche. The man is a worshiper par excellence. The man is a man who worships God in spirit and in truth. No wonder we see the kind of fire that radiates from his life. Somebody say a loud amen. Number two that will make you secure the fire is called supplication. Number one is adoration. Number two is supplication. And that means prayer. The life of prayer is the life of fire. The life of prayer is the life of the presence of God. Those who pray carry the fire of God. Those who pray secure the fire of God. If you can pray, you will come to a point in time where the fire of God begins to radiate upon your life. When people see you, they see the fire of God. When people see you, they see the presence of God. When people see you, they see God's hands upon your life, because you are a man of prayer. You remember in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. It sat upon each of them. Fire appeared on their heads. The reason was because they were praying. If you read in Acts chapter 1, the previous chapter, from verse 4, Jesus began to tell them, he said, tarry, assemble together, stay in Jerusalem, wait for the fire, wait for the promise, wait for the kabod of God, wait for the presence of God. It is when you wait in prayers, it is when you wait in intercession that you can receive the fire. And as they waited in prayer, if you read from that verse 4 to verse 14, you will discover that the men prayed. They were in intercession. They assembled themselves. They were waiting. They were trusting God. They were asking God for fire. They were praying for the promise that God had asked them to pray for. They were not just praying for 1 hour. It was for days. They were praying, and suddenly there appeared on them cloven tongues as of fire. When you pray, fire appears. When you pray, the presence of God appears. When you pray, the glory of God appears. Somebody say loud amen. Ask your neighbor, is this smoke that's on your head or fire? Ask your neighbor, say, is this smoke on your head or fire? God's servant told the story how that they went to pray for somebody that was mad in the company of people. And then the lady said, I see fire on this head. I see fire on this head. I see fire on this head. But on this person's head, it is smoke. The fire is off. The fire has gone out. Your fire will not go out. Are you saying amen? Like a believer, shout it louder. Somebody shout fire. Shout fire. Shout fire. To pray is to generate the fire of God. Luke chapter 9, 28 and 29. Luke chapter 9, 28 and 29. The Bible says, it came to pass about the 8th day after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as they prayed, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistering. The Bible says, the presence of God came upon that mountain. It was the presence of fire. It was the presence of glory. It was the presence of the hand of God. The man who prays is the man who secures the hand of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. The fire came down from heaven. Please hear me, my brothers and sisters. You cannot behave prayerless and see the fire of God upon your life. You cannot be here prayerless and see the glory of God upon your life. You must come to the point in time where your life is soaked in intercession, where your life is soaked in prayers. You are praying for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours minimum in a day. You are committing life to God. Our Father in the Lord is a man of prayer. One day he called us, few of us, to this place and said he wanted us to pray. By the time we finished praying, 12 hours had already gone. It was prayer in the spirit. It was continuous. We were praying and praying. He gave us a time. The people who came late were not allowed to join us. Just few of us praying. Why? He knows that prayer secures fire. And that's the reason why we see the fire of God upon his life. Somebody from this mountain, you are carrying fire. Say your amen like that of a believer. Say that amen again like that of a believer. Number 3 is dedication. Number 1 is adoration. Number 2 is supplication. Number 3 is dedication. Dedication to God, dedication to his kingdom is the secret of the fire of God. Those who are dedicated carry pure fire. The vibrancy of your dedication determines the vibrancy of your fire. Show me a man that is dedicated, and I will show you a man that carries the fire of God upon his life. What is dedication? 1. Dedication is following hard after God. Psalm 63 verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after the dedication. Is following hard after God. What is dedication? Dedication is going with God all the way. Going with God all the way. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. God called Abraham and said, get out of your father's kingdom and out of your house to a land that I will show you. And in verse 4, the Bible says, and Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him. He didn't waste time. The man went. He went all the way with God. Dedication means standing on the side of God. Where you are on the side of God, you are not on the side of the devil. You are not on the side of your friends who are following the ways that are not the ways of God. It is following the ways of God, standing on the side of God. Exodus 32, 26. Exodus 32 and in verse 26. The Bible speaking, and Moses said stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of the Levite gathered themselves together unto him. Dedication to God is standing on the side of God. When you are like that, you see the fire of God. Moses was standing on the side of God. Moses was dedicated to God. Moses was committed to God. And in Exodus chapter 3 verse 1, the fire appeared before him as he fed the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. The Bible says he came to the mountain of God. He was so dedicated. He pushed the flock. He guided the flock to the backside of the desert. And the Bible says a fire appeared. There is a way you follow God so much. There is a way you pursue God so much that a fire will appear before you. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Your spiritual fire is waiting at the end of your dedication. Write it down. Your spiritual fire is waiting at the end of your dedication. The place of your dedication is the place of your spiritual fire. Hear me, if you are here and you are not committed to the campus fellowship, do not miss campus fellowship in your school. You are not dedicated. If you are here and you are not committed to God in your university, you are not preaching the word, you are not going out for evangelism, you are not dedicated. You can't see God's fire when you operate like that. The fire operates on the life of the people that are dedicated. As they went, the Lord went with them. It was the fire of God that went with them. It was the presence of God that went with them. Somebody here today, I see you carrying that fire from here. If you are saying amen, let the amen be the loudest. Number 1 is adoration. Number 2 is supplication. Number 3 is dedication. Number 4 is consecration. This is perhaps one of the most important factors that commands the fire of God upon the life of people. Hear me, my brothers. That was the secret of Joseph. That was the secret of David. These were people that were consecrated for God. Dedication is putting up the robe of righteousness. Dedication is separation from the world. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. consecration is dedication to God in righteousness, dedication to God in purity. You will not touch what it is though he said you shouldn't touch. You will not say the things he said you shouldn't say. You will not see the things he doesn't want you to see. You will not go where he doesn't want you to go. When you get to that point, it means you are consecrated for him. And when you are consecrated for him, it gets you set apart for him. That the consecration means surrender to the will of God. Thy will be done in my life. Jesus told his father, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:42. Not my will, but your will be done. That is when you are consecrated to God. That the dedication means, consecration means living holy for God. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Be ye holy. Be ye holy. Be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It is coming to the point in time where you are pure. Your conscience is not defiled. It is coming to the point in time where you don't allow the things of the world defile you. You don't allow your phone become a defilement to your life. You don't allow the internet become a defilement to your life. You don't allow your friends become defilement to your life. It is separating yourself for God. Somebody say, I hear. Say it again, say, I hear. And then finally, as I round off, what will make you generate the fire? It is association. Number one is adoration. Number two, supplication. Number three, dedication. Number four, concentration. Number five, association. Your association, your company determines your fire. Your company determines your fire. Show me who you hang around, and I will tell you the degree of your fire. Show me where you go from day to day, night to night, and I will show you how hot or cold you are. Show me how committed you are to God. Show me how committed those people that you follow are to God, and I will show you how committed or how big your fire will be. Association. Association is secret to the fire. And this association comes in three ways. First is association with people that are lower than you spiritually, where you are teaching them, training them, and talking to them about the things of God. The second level is with people who are your contemporaries, people who you talk with, people who you share scripture and dissect scripture together, people where you analyze scripture with together. This is the second level of associations you should have. And the third level are people that are above you, people that are ahead of you, like our Father in the Lord, our Mother in the Lord, people who you look up to, and then their association affects your life. Their association impacts your life. Show me a man that works with a prayerful man, and I will show you a man that will carry the fire of God upon his life. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned men and ignorant men, and they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Somebody say, I hear. Say it again, I hear. Your association determines your fire. One day, I was teaching in the Bible school right here in Area 1. And as I was teaching, I saw a car drove into the premises. And a man and a woman came out of the car. And they were wailing and crying. They were wailing and crying. Obviously, something had happened. When I looked a little closer, somebody was there lying down lifeless inside the car. And then as I was teaching, I was wondering, what should I do? Should I go and meet them? Or just continue with the students I was talking to? And I decided, my assignment is to teach. So let me continue teaching. And whilst I was just talking with the students, few minutes after, the senior pastor drove and came to the premises right there in Area 1. And then he came out of his car. And this man and woman rushed to him and began to say something to him. And then he didn't even hear them for too long. With fire in his eyes, he went straight to the car, laid his hands on this person that was lifeless, and pulled the person up, and the person jerked back. And I said, what is this? I was teaching principles of faith, and I saw faith in action. That was a lifeless person that just came back. Oh, that thing sank into my mind. That thing was a result of what I saw by association with him. And so one day, I went to my location, back to my location. I was in Adamawa State right then as a state pastor. And then one day I was in the office. And whilst I finished praying and studying the Bible, I was just meditating and relaxing. And then somebody, one of the staff, rushed into the office and said, "Sir, they just brought a girl. And the girl is lying on the altar. And she's lifeless." Immediately, what I saw some months ago came back to me. I said, "What happened?" He said, "He doesn't know." I went to the altar. I saw this girl lifeless. Her pulse was gone. Foam coming out of her mouth. And then I said, "In the name of Jesus, by the mantle of my Father, I command you, come back." I pulled her up. She sat up. I said, "Give me water." They gave me water. I said, "Open your mouth." She opened her mouth. I poured the water in her mouth. She drank it. I said, "Go and meet your mother." She went and hugged her mother. I went back to my office. Hey! 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 Who are you associated with? Determines your fire. It determines your fire. It determines your fire. Who have you met with? Who are you communicating with? Who is the one speaking to you? Who is preaching to you? Whose messages do you listen to? From time immemorial, one of my pastors, one of the first pastors I served as resident pastor, he gave me cassette tapes of senior pastors' messages, loads of CDs inside the Ghana Must Go. I was listening to the ones I can listen to. The ones that were cracking, I will drop them. The ones that I can listen, I'll listen to. And then these things regenerate the mind. It sets you on fire for God. How many messages of the senior pastor have you listened to? How many of his books do you have? How many of the principles that he teaches do you know? How many of the things he has said that you know? How many of his messages are in your head? These are the things that generate the fire of God for the believer. The right association. The right association. Somebody say a loud amen. The right association. Please take your seats. Associate with those who will take you far in the realms of the spirit. One day, one man went to visit a member who has left the church for long. It was a cold winter morning. And then the man he went to visit had left the church. He folded his hands and then was warming himself by the fire. And then the pastor that went to visit saw this man and said, "How are you?" He said, "Fine. Why have you not been coming to church?" He said, "Nothing." And then the pastor didn't say anything. Then he took the fork and picked one of the burning coals from the fire and dropped it on the floor, and they continued talking. They were discussing, and not before long, this coal that was outside had offed, and then these other ones were still burning. And then he told the man, do you see this one has offed. He took it and put it back in the fire, and then it began to burn again. That is what association does to you. It sets you on fire. This kind of climate sets you on fire. Somebody here is living with the mantle of our Father in your life. You are living with the mantle of God's handmaid upon your life. You believe, can you jump on your feet and shout that amen like thunder? Shout fire! Shout fire! Shout fire! Yeah. Ask your neighbor, is there fire on your head? In the next 3 minutes, lift up your hands and say after me, say, "Father." Louder, say, "Father, give me fresh fire from this conference." Say it again, say, "Father, I ask for fresh fire from this conference." Now, open your mouth and pray. Pray. Lord, I need your fire for impact. Give me fire. Yes, the day Kalaka. Don't just look. Pray. Ask God for fire. Your concentration determines your fire. Maybe you are here, you are not fully concentrated. You have partial concentration. I want to ask you to come to this altar. Lord, I need full concentration. Give me grace for full concentration so that your fire can fall upon my life. You are here, you want a deeper concentration with God. You want a deeper intimacy with God. Say, Lord, please help me with your fire. In the name of Jesus, help me to become more concentrated. I want to be fully committed to you so that I can see what you want me to see in my life. I have partial concentration. I don't have full concentration. Please, pick up your Bible right from where you are. Come to the altar. Father, give me full concentration. In the name of Jesus, rest of us, lift up your voice and continue to pray. Lord, I receive fresh concentration. I receive fresh fire. I receive fresh grace. I receive fresh mantle. I receive fresh unction. In the name of Jesus, I don't want partial concentration. I want strong concentration. Pray. I don't want the lack of sin. Pray. I don't want iniquity to hold me back. Pray. Help me so that your fire can come upon my life. Pray. For fresh fire, I want to affect my generation. I want to change lives. I don't want to remain in sin. Give me deeper concentration. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Stand up on your feet, everybody, in the front. Lift up your two hands. Say, Jesus. Say it again. Say, Jesus. I come to this altar today. I ask for deeper concentration. The grace in the life of your servant, Dr. Paul Enenche, Dr. Missy Becky Enenche, that grace for concentration, I drink into it. I receive my portion. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, help me to live for you. Help me to serve you with my life from today. I go forward with you forever and backward never. In the name of Jesus, say a loud amen. Now, for the next 1 minute, say again, say, Father,
Father,
fill me
with concentration.
Fire, fill me.
Now,
open your mouth and pray. Look at it. It is dropping. Yes. Head up.
that brother. It is dropping. Hey, that sister. It is dropping.
Praise. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray.